Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
I have to admit, I was quite shocked to hear that Optus, the second biggest telecommunications company in Australia, had no disaster management plan, as revealed in a Senate hearing last Friday. And this comes after the national outage that left millions without phone or internet and also resulted in some people unable to dial 000. And as a result, yesterday, Optus CEO Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin resigned. And will Kelly's resignation fix the problems at Optus, or is a female CEO copping the blame for what should have been highlighted in a corporate risk assessment? Well, Helen Bird is a senior lecturer from Swinburne University Law School. Helen, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about Optus not having a disaster management plan, how did Optus CEO Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin respond to the outage, and was this adequate for a CEO?
Well, essentially, if you go over and what she said at the Senate hearing last Friday, she said she got caught up in actually working out what the problem was. She delayed giving an update to customers because she didn't know anything. And as a consequence, it was all a bit messy, but they used the media to get the message out because the phone system wasn't working. So by a combination of default and design, it kind of worked, is how she put it, while apologising for the mess up and the muck up that occurred with it. And she did acknowledge Optus could do a lot better. In answer to your question, did she do enough? I think the answer is, of course, she did not. And that was evident when she was in front of the Senate and she was having questions fired at her about that she hadn't considered at all in relation to the communications program and strategy at Optus.
Not having a disaster management plan, I mean, it's pretty poor, especially for a national communications company. And I'm not sure of what Optus's internal structure is, but shouldn't the the chief information officer, maybe the chief operations officer or the head of risk, be the first to explain why such an oversight occurred?
You would think so. Certainly, I would say the risk management officer is really rather critical in this space, because a disaster management plan is part of managing the risk of the company. And while we want to get complicated here, let's keep it really simple, because what happened was a system outage. And this could happen in any company. It's not even just at Optus. And what we're saying is they never conceived of an idea that they could have a national outage of the kind that they experienced last week or 10 days ago. Now, the thing about it is that doesn't strike you as very good thinking, because if you thought about it, the consequences, although it might have seemed unlikely, were so serious that you would have planned for that eventuality, even if it was a remote possibility. A case of not so much if, but rather when it's going to happen to you. And really, honestly, to have got this far and not had one, maybe was sheer dumb luck. So I do wonder that we don't know who the chief risk officer was, but we don't know anything about the governance of Optus. It has a very little information on its website, and the conclusion we reach is that the company is really run in terms of the governance side of things by the parent, Singtel, in Singapore.
And of course, Singtel, being owned by Singtel, based in Singapore, what impact, I suppose, would the operations of a Singapore-based company have on the structure of Optus, if it is so light?
To be fair, Optus must run according to Australian law, but insofar as it does its governance thing, it's obviously not doubling up. So it just has one level of governance and it's run through the Singapore office. I guess the point I would make, or the reservation I would have, is how much priority these things can be given if you are not actually in the country. And when it is something of such a national critical infrastructure, like what telecommunications is, how it's possible to not have boots on the ground, people who are responsible. But I guess this turns somewhat of the question back to the CEO, because the net effect of not having these things in place is that all the power, authority and responsibility fell on the CEO. And so you could argue that one of the things that she may be neglected to do was to appoint these sorts of positions. Where was the risk officer that she relied on? If she did have one, it's not available on the web for us to see. She may have. but my reading is that these people have no profile or any executive significance at Optus. So maybe she chose to save those costs, but as you can see, in the end, it actually didn't save costs.
Is a corporate CEO who's female, though, an easy target for some sort of symbolic change by management that are based overseas?
Look, I have certain sympathy for that point of view. I feel that leaving her to take all the responsibility was particularly difficult, but it is a CEO role and you are at the leadership of the organisation. And so you should expect to have to take responsibility. But normally speaking, you would be supported to some extent by the chair or the board or associated executive officers, none of which were present as far as I could tell. But I think that when we say, is it because she was a woman?
Yeah.
I think it was because there were two failings. There was a failure of the cybersecurity issue last year, and then 6 months later, this one, and they're both not particularly handled well. I don't think it would matter what gender the executive was. If you were a CEO in that situation, I think you would be facing the same pressure.
I've asked this before, but should a national communications carrier as big as Optus be wholly owned by an overseas company that perhaps has more interest in profit, and I'm not suggesting that they do, but they could, than the critical role that the company plays in providing services such as 000?
I don't think it matters so much who owns the company, but what I think does matter is we should have proper governance structures. And I think this is a massive oversight on the part of the government in giving out the carrier license, that these weren't restrictions on exactly how you run this company and exactly how you're made accountable for what you do. And part of the reason possibly is because Telstra is a public company and that's its main competitor, and Telstra therefore makes disclosure and has to fulfil governance requirements set up by the Australian Stock Exchange, whereas Optus does not because it's a private company. And being wholly owned, they've chosen to have the board overseas. I think the question for me is, if you want a carrier license, be it wherever you are located, shouldn't you have to answer as an Australian company to Australian regulators for the way your company is run? Not because you're running a company as such, but because what you supply is an essential, critical piece of infrastructure. And you ought to be accountable more so than somebody who, for example, sells widgets or does dry cleaning or something like that. Might not be me to denigrate them. Just by comparison.
For those customers of Optus who are still with Optus and are contemplating perhaps switching, what do you think? We've got this change now of the CEO having gone. Do you think we can relax, or do you think potentially there could be more problems down the track because that governance hasn't been fixed?
I believe that at this point, that it doesn't matter who the head of the organisation is, there is a really significant need to fix up the way in which it's run inside the company. That's its risk management profile, the way that's set up, and also in relation to the way in which there's a board in Australia that makes the CEO accountable. Now, I'm not suggesting that Singtel will listen to this, but I genuinely think it's up to the regulator to insist on these requirements. If you want the privilege of supplying a national piece of infrastructure, you have to comply with government requirements. So this really now turns the pressure on ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, to own up to some changes to the carrier licence that they give to Optus.
Helen, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Helen Bird, Senior Lecturer from Swinburne Law School at Swinburne University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.